Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Line up the microphone with your tongue.
Oh, welcome. Hey, everyone. Great to be here. My name is Ulf. I was here doing the photo shoot with the boys, and it was a lot of fun. You should have seen Mr. Dunlop was always jumping around and dancing with his hair, etc. Took off his glasses. I said, put them on. You're making everyone jealous. And then Mr. James Sharman, he had too many beers and had to have a nap. I said, no, just sleep over there. It's fine in the corner, like a hound dog sleeps at the foot of my bed. Mr. Craig Forrest over there, so tall, just like a sturdy English oak, just always just so confident and there. And now, unfortunately, Mr. Burley, Mr. Balding, Danny Dicchio, it's not here. I like when he's around because he's just so full of life and positive. And it's like every time I stand near him, it's like he wants to hurt me. But at the same time, he also wants to hug me, I assume. And then Dan Wong, he's just holding things together. What a day today was. Footy Prime, enjoy the show, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ulf. Over the next few weeks and months. But, you know, for you that whined about Nigel being too offensive, how do you find Ulf Ulferson? Just curious.
Ulf sounds very much like Bruno. And did you give him a last name? I don't think he named himself Ulferson.
No, that's his new name. Yeah.
Ulf Ulferson.
Ulf Ulferson.
Seems to be a bit of a trend with the names.
And just to clarify, the opening foray, shall we say, about the mic was in reference to the last couple of weeks of some mic issues on this very podcast. And we do apologize for those mic issues, but we think Ulf has got the boys trained here. And that won't be an issue moving forward.
Hello, everybody.
Wow. Them
That's some the clearest dulcet you've ever tones. Sounded.
Is it?
Jeez, bitter.
No. No, I'm
Steve Bitterman.
No, I'm absolutely in.
That's Craig Forrest.
I will be better.
Craig Forrest.
Can only try.
Dan Wong, Brendan Dunlop, JC's here, it's Jeff Cole, I'm James Sharman. No Dicchio, as Ulf mentioned there in this shutdown edition. Not lockdown, a shutdown. Different, but the same in every fucking way.
Is he in quarantine because he came from the States?
I think he's in a debriefing meeting still with John Herdman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet you they've had a few.
No, his phone and his passport are still in the CSA's.
They would have had several debriefs in several areas.
I hope they got a chance to celebrate, though, because let's be honest, that was, you know, when we recorded last week, I wasn't here, to say that since then, Canada scored 16 goals. It's not bad, is it? Jesus Christ.
Hey, Craig, who won the bet? There was a big bet last week.
What do you mean, who? Who?
Right?
What do you mean,
10 and a half, yeah. Right?
What do you mean, who won? I won it in the one game.
That's right.
Also, thanks for bringing it up, you big
did
jerk.
You? Yeah.
How much
yeah.
was it? How much was it?
It was only $10.
And I don't have cash on me, so...
You mean he keeps you don't even have Brendan the money to pay your debt?
Correct. Whoa. I'm basically a professional soccer
team. I think you owe me for the NCAA, too.
You owe me for the NCAA.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got any cash on me.
I know.
Boy, we digress quick, don't we? That was about 3 minutes in.
There should be a fist-bumping cat at the front, though. Just for
anyway.
Let me ask you this, though.
It was must have been fun to play in.
We'll get to Canada and how great they were, you know. But I'm thinking of two other teams right now. I'm thinking of our boy Thomas Rongan's America Samoa team, right? Arguably the worst team in the world, right? Who was it? Oh, Danny Kovermans once upon a time said that TFC was the worst team in the world.
In the world.
If there was like a little three-team league, including the Cayman Islands, who would win that league and who would come dead last?
Ooh. It's wrong in coaching American Samoa, or yes. Is he allowed to coach all of them?
Honestly, I think as bad as the Cayman Islands were and are, I think Thomas's team would be worse. I think the Cayman Islands would probably win that. I mean, where are they? Where are they? They're traditionally, traditionally,
are you
like the
again?
Worst in the world. Aren't they like ranked like 208 or something?
American Samoa has been ranked the lowest. Yes,
mind you, they
hence
only,
they got a movie.
They don't play any games.
They lost 19-0. Right? Was it 19-0?
31.
Oh, sorry, 31
is that to Australia or something?
Australia.
Yeah,
and the only player remained from that team when Rangan took them over, and they. Spoiler alert, won a match in World Cup qualifying, was the goalkeeper, which is, you can imagine, the scars. Unbelievable story. If you haven't seen Next Goal Wins, there'll be a feature film with Michael Fassbender portraying our friend Thomas Rangan, which is unbelievable, directed by Oscar-winning Taika Waititi. No idea when that'll be out, thanks COVID, but can't wait to see the film.
You know what? Thomas is such a character. I can see why it's a movie.
I mean, Fassbender's a fantastic actor, but no one can really encapsulate the true TR that we know.
I would agree with that. He is such a character. I've said this many times in doing the Fox show, as brief as it was.
That's Fox show, not the Fox show.
Correct. Fox Soccer News.
Although at this point in your career, you might want to think about moving to the Fox show.
Yeah. I think life is a Fox show is basically what it's turned into. Dos Equis got it wrong. The most interesting man in the world has and will always be Thomas J. Rangan.
There's no doubt. Best stories I've ever heard. And this guy beside me has got some pretty good ones.
Yeah, Craig.
TR stories.
He's talking
disgusting.
About Craig. He's not talking about JC for those of you who can't see.
Well, Thomas, he's got all those like the North American Soccer League stories too, right? That
yeah.
They were fun times. For those guys.
My old mate Brian Budd has very similar ones. I wish I had a chance to see both TR and Budgie in the same room at the same time, just talking about their old experiences, because sweet Jesus.
They would have been eating a pizza. They would have been crushing a pizza.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a PG, that's for sure.
No, you wouldn't have been able to put it on a podcast or radio or any type of recording. There would be massive...
Well, you probably could have got onto Footy Prime, the Footy Garage.
It's more of a clubhouse chat. It like lives. It's not recorded.
Right.
It would be more like that.
It comes and it goes, so to speak.
Kind of like.
Plus, how much do you remember of these podcasts?
Not too much. Very little, for some reason.
Well, now that you have someone scrubbing them to make promos for Instagram.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't followed us on Twitter and Instagram, please do. Be Here has been slicing and dicing.
Nice job.
Great little vignettes. Call them vignettes?
Thank you. I call them social media content promotion.
That's a much sexier term.
Isn't that? That sounds really good.
But essentially, it's a vignette. You sound really good.
Do I?
Yeah.
The
way you're holding the shaft.
American Samoa ranked 192.
Ooh, so they're up. Many spots.
I'm going to find out because I'm not sure how many are.
How many nations in FIFA? 200
and... I thought it was 208.
It's over two.
What is it? Yeah.
There might be some new nations between now and the last World Cup.
Well, there
wasn't
European
session.
Qualifying.
Is there an East Macedonia?
Oh, if there was, they might also beat Germany.
It's just a North and a South. But I haven't seen South Macedonia.
So North Macedonia beat Germany, right, in qualifying this week.
Is that for real?
I know. April Fools.
I tweeted that, the scoreline, and several people responded privately, this is not a real scoreline, ?
It was staggering. And like 2 days prior to that, Georgia had a great game against Spain, right? Almost got Luxembourg beat Ireland. Now, Ireland has, you know, this kind of crazy track record. They're either quite good or just shit. Right now, they're just shit, I guess. But still, Luxembourg, who have made some steps in the last few years, but we've seen some really strange results.
Have you seen the team sheet? It's more like Luxembourgal.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I that actually helps. made the point... about Cayman Islands, you know, and the seeing better pub teams, and I have. I mean, let's be fair. That wasn't me. My mic is fine. That was Dan Wong stepping on everything.
So Craig, let me ask you then. So Cayman's like utterly shit. We know that. But so, what can you take from those games in Canada? I mean, listen, 16 goals. who cares that they're playing? Is a great way to build, I guess, morale, team gets together.
Yeah.
Could you, as a coach, take much from those results, do you think?
Well, yes. Not so much from the results, but what an opportunity for John to try different things in a game that's not, the result's not in danger, really, let's be fair. So, you know, you can do a whole bunch of different things. The time that he got to spend with the team, you know, he's learned a lot about them, personalities, what they're like. You know, he's got a pretty good grasp of the Canadian mentality. Same as the women, you know, that, you know, they do fight together, and they traditionally, the national team players have got along really, really well. And we've always sort of been in that mentality where nobody gives a shit. We're all in this, like, you know, we're down in the Gold Cup, wherever. I mean, nobody in Canada really cares. I mean, it's a small fraction. And it's just kind of like, we feel like the Wimbledon of CONCACAF. Nobody
That's
likes
great,
us, and we don't care.
You're the crazy gang of CONCACAF.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah. Why not?
Right?
Yeah.
There you go.
They didn't have, nobody cared about them either.
Much better than being the Millwall of CONCACAF.
Ooh,
no one
yeah.
likes us. We don't care. Well, what island is that in CONCACAF?
Yeah, who's Millwall of CONCACAF?
St. Kitts and Nevis.
No. Well, because you got to, when you talk about Millwall, yeah. you got to bring in the supporters, and they're just nasty.
He's right then, America. The American Outlaws.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're intimidating.
Those guys from Texas.
Yeah.
Just
if you're
wild.
Playing down there. And
we pay $3,000 a month for a one bedroom apartment in Austin, you big jerk. Won't mess with those people.
Although Craig might disagree. Craig might have issues with other fan bases in CONCACAF that we far worse than the States. The ones that toss bags of piss at you, that kind of, those kind of teams.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get hit with a bag of piss?
No, not Mexico. They're too far away. Mm. As much as Aztec is like, it's on top of you, but it's still a long ways away.
Thank
Would it be God.
Off-
and there's a barbed wire fence, and then there's police, and then there's a big moat.
Thank God you didn't play Mexico at Upton Park. That would be...
Oh, jeez.
That
would have been nuts if that was a Mexican crowd in Upton Park. That, yeah.
So Aztec...
Yeah, I like the Mexican crowd. Like, I mean, you know, they're the best in the region.
Are you better off being throwing a bag of shit then at the Azteca than a bag of piss?
What do you mean?
It's heavier, I would think.
All depends on the...
And you can get more distance with it.
Depends on how wet it is.
A really wet shit.
If it's dry... If it's a bit dry, like a cow patty's been sitting there for 3 hours, I'll take one of them.
No, a fresh, wet shit in a bag. Is that better to toss than a bag of urine?
Human or cow?
I don't know.
I'd rather a cow patty hit me than a human shit.
But there aren't many cows.
Especially
wongers. In the stands, are
they? I remember, but I mean, El Salvador, I mean, it's the same stadium they're playing in as we did. Been there for a long time. But it also was a different time down there. I mean, they know they try to intimidate the fans or the away team, but it was also a different time. They're coming out of a civil war. I mean, San Salvador was a disaster, like just blown out and just sad people, and it was a tough place.
But when you got to the stadium on match day, did it resemble a match? Did it feel like a modern day of that time match, or did it feel like the drive to the stadium?
Well, the drive to the stadium was okay, and then we were just looking out, windows were all blown out, all the few high rises that they had, and then once we turned the corner sort of to go toward the stadium, that was it. It was like a roadblock. It was just crawl through these fans who were just letting you have it.
It's wild to me, and you talked last week about you having some of the same stories that current players have. And, I mean, there's a lot of layers to that. I think a lot of these stadiums haven't really changed as well. I think it's incredible that you and Alex have some of the same – Alex Bunbury have some of the same stories. But also, if you were to talk to Julian de Guzman and Atiba Hutchinson, Dwayne Di Rosario, now Jonathan Osorio and Alfonso Davies, it's kind of insane that you have so many similar stories. I feel like in a lot of other countries, you know, the program would, especially an evolving program, would change so much that there wouldn't be so much similarity. But it's kind of wild in Canada. I think that's quite unique to Canada, more so than CONCACAF, that your stories transcend generations like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously the CONCACAF thing and getting CONCACAF'd and
yeah,
all those stories and whatnot. But it's always been an interesting area because you got these, you know, Mexico, they just dominate and have done. Americans have caught up. But back in the early 80s.
Even early 90s.
Early 90s.
They
exactly.
weren't at a competitive level.
They weren't really. Yeah, when was it? 90? They qualify for 90.
Italia 90?
Beat Trinidad, I think, in Port of Spain. But that was when they were starting to come up. And we could see it because you could start to see they were starting to produce players, goalkeepers. Keller were playing over Millwall, and Spurs had long careers there, Friedel. You could see that they're once they got serious about it, you knew that they were going to be a powerhouse. They just had to be. Although a lot of people would have predicted they would have been a lot further along than they are already, but you know they're doing fairly well.
It's a great argument. I mean, so many years now, people have been saying the States with the kids playing, how many kids are playing there, China, even India. You know, this massive population basis. Why aren't they better than they are?
Yeah. Well, the problem is with the States, and it's becoming that way in Canada too, it's quite white, and it's becoming money-driven. If you are going to get to the next level, you got to get to these, you know, these academies and spending $4,000 or $5,000. It's getting like that. Like, it's not, like the Alfonso Davies story is not normal. I mean, he was very fortunate to get supported very well by people in Edmonton. And then he got right coaching, a little bit of luck here and there in Vancouver, happens to be around with Major League Soccer at the time. What if it wasn't there? What would have happened to him? Some kid from Edmonton,
So Fonzie coming over as a refugee in 1985 has a very different experience to the Fonzie coming over and you know, in the 2000s.
I think it's more so the question that Fonzie, the five-year-old or eight-year-old, has a different... you know, set of playing surfaces in opportunities in 1990 than in 2000, where I think recognizing the talent is why he pushed on. Mm-hmm. There was always someone there to make sure that he was suited up.
Yeah,
there's
football people in Edmonton have a lot that should be respected greatly. You know?
Yeah.
And the Whitecaps get a lot of credit, and they should. But Edmonton is...
Well, didn't his agent have something like... ended up being his agent was the guy, one of the guys in Edmonton, I believe, that helped him, supported him quite a lot too, right?
He was the father of another teammate, one of Fonzie's teammates. Yeah.
So Jeff Poulos was involved too, right? Am I wrong there?
I'm not sure.
Edmonton.
Certainly, he's not the agent. The agent was,
no,
was the
agent,
father of a teammate of Alfonso's, made sure that he was able to get everywhere he needed to. And when the Whitecaps came calling, accompanied him as a family liaison, friend of the family. And has grown to becoming an agent and now is doing incredible record-setting Canadian deals, which is pretty special. And a cool Canadian story in its own right.
Just the 2 goals, though, for Fonzie over those 2 games. Yeah. You know, 16 goals scored, just 2. Not good enough.
Not good enough.
How many assists did he get?
5, I think.
He got 3 in the first game.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going by those guys like pylons, right? Literally like pylons.
Do you think?
Yes, I think you might be faster in a couple of them. Yes.
Wow. Not at all. I was going to ask if
really
we,
no.
If we put a squad together, if you think that we could have beat the Caymans, and I expected your answer to be like, not with you on left wing. That's what I expected.
I wouldn't put you on left wing. Put you on left out.
There you go. Been there my whole life, bruh. Nothing new.
I know.
The poor Caymans. Bermuda was shite as well. Let's be honest. Right, Bermuda was terrible.
Bermuda.
Too.
Well, they're missing players as well.
But I'm just TPP. Like, I'm still championing some of these teams. You know, Bermuda. I'll watch out for when they get their players back. Like what, Reggie Lamb?
Well,
like he's fucking world class.
No, sorry.
Reggie Lamb's a tidy player for North America. He's not world class. So calm down when they play Syria.
Yeah, but I guess Victor Montagliani. I guess he took a little bit. Well, he just defended the Minnows like he should. President of CONCACAF.
He has no choice.
That he said, this is the only blowout we've seen in CONCACAF. And I was like, that's a good point.
When?
Suriname being on the right end of a 6-0, though.
Yeah, there was a 6-0.
There was a 7-0 and a 6-0 and a 4-0, though,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, but not like, you know, like Australia out there.
No, there wasn't a 31-0.
Yeah, right. You know, that's what we're talking about, some crazy...
But he's got to defend. Victor's got to defend his qualifying process, right?
They well, I think
it, was,
I think
it wasn't
that
perfect. They admit that.
We were talking about in Europe, countries that are overachieving or playing well. Well, we're seeing it. If you have a good coaching system, if Iceland can do it with what, 300,000 people, like let's be fair.
I think too. You know, you look at Portugal. We were talking about how Portugal was not a prominent team before Euro 2000, really. The golden generation, Luis Figo, Rui Costa, that was at the under-20 World Cup in 1990 or whatever that early 90s year was. Then they made Euro 96, and they were considered a big disappointment. Those guys were still young at the time, but they were a huge disappointment. They didn't make the World Cup in France in 98. Euro 2000, they lost in the semifinal against France. That was a real coming of age for Portuguese soccer. Come Euro 2004 when they're hosting, now you have one of the best players in the world, one of the best players in football history in Luis Figo, a budding superstar, you can tell, in Cristiano Ronaldo. It that ascendancy to relevancy, let alone, you know, Europe's elite, was very, very quick. And it feels as though Portugal have been a power for a long time, but they were in the 60s and then they weren't for 30 years. And they are again now. So it's kind of
they had the odd great player though, didn't they? They always had somebody. And because they had good clubs, you know, those two powerhouses of Porto and Benfica, but well, and Sporting.
Sharman would say this when I was in my early 20s and I began traveling the world. And I would tell him great stories about meeting this English person from here and this English person from there when I was in the Caribbean. And he says, you'll find English people everywhere. Mm. The Brits are absolutely everywhere.
We try and escape that fucking island as much as possible, that's why.
Is that. But my point being is that that seems to be the case now with Portuguese coaches. You'll find a Portuguese coach on a winning team, at the top of a league, all over the world. Yeah. No matter what country you're looking at, there's a Portugueser that's got in there.
Now, did the Portuguese Federation, is this by luck, or was it by, did they actually have a system of coaching and coaching development?
There was a recognition in the 90s of coaching being the key. So there was a focus in making elevating the standard of coaching considerably more so than they had in the 70s and the 80s when they...
It is key.
It didn't transcend.
Absolutely
key. So you're seeing it now. But also I think what's very cool is that you're seeing coaches like Jose Mourinho, Andre Villas-Boas, who didn't have great playing careers, but are incredibly studious, you know, quite unique managers, similar to John Herdman, who doesn't really have, you know, a prominent playing career, but has really been a mind of the game, a student of the game, and it's translated into an incredible coaching.
And one thing about guys like him that Mourinho in that category too is that a lot of players, if you had a long career and say you're retiring in your 30s and now you're going to start getting into coaching, you might get an opportunity because you're a former player and a name, but the guys that are, you know, had career ending injuries, which they, you know, don't want, and you don't wish that on anybody, or people that have a football brain like Herdman or something, they start so young. You got 10, 15 years on something, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're really, really dissecting it like John Herdman does, like I've, you know, known him for a long time and with a women's program as well, like it's impressive.
If you're prepared to earn your stripes, you know, and start at the bottom, and a guy like John Herdman or a guy like Jose Mourinho had to start at the bottom somewhere because the doors weren't opening for them. Like, for example, you know, a Frank de Boer, you know, that's established.
Could you imagine, Jose, how he would have got treated, you know, when he was, you know, the interpreter, really, for Sir Bobby
Robson?
That's
an amazing story.
You know, he would have, you know, guys would have, like, made, you know, they lived in the punching bag a little bit.
The story is that they lived in the same building, I think.
Who are Robson and...
Jose Mourinho. And that's how he got in with him.
But Robson's the kind of guy also to give that kid a chance, an opportunity. Right. A lot of managers probably would, you're a freaking translator. Shut up. I don't hear tactics. We've all watched Ted Lasso, right? You know, the kit man. Actually, Nick, he's a football savant, right? We need more Nicks in the game.
We do, actually. We very much do. To be honest,
my favorite character in Ted Lasso actually was Nick.
Really?
He's superb.
My kit man at Ipswich was amazing.
Was he a football savant?
He did. Well,
just cleaned the mean kit.
No, you know what? He was because, yeah. he was a beauty because it didn't matter who came in to the club. Like, he would just, didn't matter if anybody acted big time Charlie. Like, it'd be like, yeah, fuck it. I work with Kevin Beatty and, you know, and Terry Butcher and all. Like,
that's,
you know,
interesting. Kitman, like, so where is a statue at a club for Kitman?
Well, this guy, he was Mr. Ipswich. He did everything when I was in the U team.
Okay,
he was the guy with the little nub. He cut his finger, half of his.
Greg is showing his fingers, yeah, for the audience. Is half of his this right now.
Index finger.
A nub, just the index finger.
So he cut it off with a saw, a band saw.
On purpose?
Maybe, because boy, oh boy.
Initiation.
That was like sharp and strong. So he, when you didn't clean something like the shitter, right, because we have to clean the shitters or whatever, if he went on the top of the ledge of the window or the door and there was dust, holy Christ, somebody get the old nub.
Really?
Right in the rib.
Is that worse than the finger? Like a full finger? The nub's worse?
For sure. What, you
oh, yeah.
Have you
never wrestled
I'll try
like
it on you.
A brother
I'll try,
or
let
a
me
sibling?
Try it on you.
I suppose so, but I think it's more pointy.
Well, if you gave somebody a noogie, would you give them with your fingers? No, you give them with your knuckles.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Fair enough.
Strong.
But maybe it's sensitive, though. You got cut off.
Strong.
I mean, yeah? Strong nub?
I don't even think you feel it, but it hurts. So I had it a couple times. Dalian Atkinson.
Legend.
Legend, God rest his soul. He took it. He was a 16-year-old big physical beast, right? Trevor Curtin, his name was. He gave him the fucking one of the end of the ribs, and Dalian fucking took him on.
Really?
Yeah.
The Kitman on him.
Yeah.
This is a star striker taking on the Kitman.
Well, 16-year-old. We're right. 16 in the youth team. Dude, he's like, you do that to me one more time, I will kill you.
Was it like De Niro? Remember
that? Like, holy shit.
What's that movie with De Niro? And he's in the army and he says he's at a bar. Some fight breaks out. And he goes, I'll take you with my thumb. And he just kills this guy, beats the shit with his thumb.
Charms. That's a
Schindler's
freaking
List.
Movie.
No,
it's
no,
a,
but I'm just saying.
It's a movie.
I've got this vision of Nubby. What's his name?
Trevor Curtin.
Right, with his nub, just beating the shit out of
okay.
David Atkinson.
Yeah. Niall Nubberson's?
And Trevor Curtin used to do everything. So he used to drive the bus, and he used to fly before restrictions came in.
But he's disabled. He can drive the bus.
What, with a nub. 4.5 fingers? Or 9.5?
With big wheels in the buses.
Oh, yeah. He was a good bus driver.
Comes in
he
handy
was a
for,
good
like,
bus
signals.
Driver. Yeah. Wow. And then he would do all the kit, and then he would do everything. He was, yeah.
But so that's a guy that's been at the club. He's seen managers come and go.
Oh, he went through
go,
the heyday.
So
he's
got a job
Cups.
For life, right, essentially? Mm. Is that what it is? Other clubs you're at, I mean, would the kit men come and go, or were they pretty much part of the furniture?
No. West Ham, Eddie Gillins, he was there for 20, 30 years.
That long, eh?
Yeah.
I guess to get fired as a kit man, you've got to be pretty shitty at your job. I mean, really, your job is to, you know, equipment,
yeah.
Shirts, kits. Make
the
sure
ones
clean.
That have problems are the ones that start getting opinionated about the team.
Right. Right. And that happens?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey,
or a physiotherapist getting involved with a manager trying to watch late Danny Diggio coming in late.
Yeah, like Nick the Knife.
I bet you Deitch was a little bit later than.
Nick
what did he say?
Knife.
Deitch said he was like. What it is, 30 seconds late? I kind of doubt that.
You know what? It's a great point, right?
Right?
Yeah. Amazing how time flies by and Dickio gets innocent and innocenter.
Remember, like, you'd show up on the set for a soccer game
would
on Saturday
like
morning.
Countdowns
like,
almost.
Yeah, like 5, 4. What game are we doing?
Yeah. No makeup on.
Yeah,
gleaming,
no makeup.
Gleaming skull.
Yeah. No, we had to do it. Had to get him made up.
But the thing with Dickie, like, he'd say that, right? And it'd be just, you know, just make the show on time. And then, boom, light goes on. And he'd crush it. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He,
oh, nice.
And even better thing,
yeah.
He doesn't listen to this podcast ever.
Well, let's find out.
No.
Dickie, are you piece of shit? I want a piece of you.
Yeah, don't anybody tell him.
Do you think it's Danny's fault that Canada only scored 16 goals? He was kind of helping out the strikers.
Yeah, because there was, you know, Cavallini in the first game could have had 3.
That one he missed was terrible. He made up for it in the second game. But
yeah,
then again, so could I.
Well, that's it.
Well,
I mean, not, let's be fair. And it's not, the players, it's not the players' fault. But this is a very unique situation that Canada's in where they're playing, you know, 2-3 very, very poor sides. In World Cup qualifying, that has never happened before. So, for instance, I thought, well,
I know Dale Mitchell was a fantastic striker for Canada, and I was looking at his games and the goals he scored against and the teams he played. Holy cow, like, there was no, like, he'd played Cuba.
Is the list there?
Did twice.
The list. I've got it here. Yeah. Guys.
I've got it, actually. Got it,
Yugoslavia,
it's
Iraq.
It's amazing. Like top clubs or very good clubs.
Yeah.
This is Dale Mitchell, Canada's, was Canada's leading goal scorer for a long time.
Strong nations from other regions. That's the difference. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You're not confined to CONCACAF.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a stretch. Like, it was Congo, China, Poland, Chile, Yugoslavia, Iraq, Costa Rica, Honduras, Bermuda, USA, USA, El Salvador, Honduras, Mexico, Peru, Colombia, Jamaica, Mexico, Greece, Chile, Greece, Trinidad, Guatemala, USA. Those are tough games. Mexico. Yeah, that's a tough. They didn't play any weak teams.
But Canada and the United States have a problem with being able to secure games against different nations from other confederations, strong nations, that would really give those players such an opportunity, even if they got thrashed. Like, remember when Canada played Brazil? D-Row was in the game. It was mid-2000s, maybe 2005, 2006 or something, and it was very much seen as like, oh, well, Brazil just need a team to thrash. But I think everyone involved in that Canadian camp would have said that was an incredible experience. They played Portugal in 2005, similar kind of idea. And you just don't see enough of those games. I don't know if Jonathan Osorio has those stories.
We were lucky. Well, we were so disappointed with not making US 94, but there was only 1.5 spots, right? So, all right, you're playing Mexico. It's like, okay, well, we pretty much, right. So we came close. We're tied going down to the last game. What was my point?
Nations, big opportunity to play competitive teams outside of the region, big matches.
No, that wasn't it.
That wasn't it? That wasn't what we were talking about?
USA 94 missing out, not having more CONCACAF spots at USA 94.
Right.
Not being Thomas Rongen.
I think you read out John Catliffe's record there, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah. Because Dale, the one you sent me,
was Haiti,
Honduras, Cuba, Scotland, three times over the course of a week?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to talk about. Mexico. We failed to make 94, but what happened was, yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. So it's been a long day. Holy shit, I've been up early. Drove for like 8 hours.
Nothing to do with the...
Let me get on it before I forget again, Wonger. So, hey, Canada is well situated for the U.S. to warm up games for the U.S. 94.
You mean a tune-up?
Tune-up, whatever you want to call it.
Could do that right
for
now.
For the U.S., you mean?
Well, for teams preparing for U.S. 94.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, got it.
So, we had a stretch of Spain, Morocco, Brazil, Germany, Holland.
These teams that have qualified, they want to beat you up.
Right. So that was our stretch of games in like a week. So Toronto, Montreal, back to Toronto again. And then the Dutch were the last team. And they all played. Everybody played their starting lineup. Every star player you can imagine. Like, it was amazing. But when we got to the Dutch game, we were done. Like, the out players. We had a small squad, right? So they're playing most of the same squad. And then,
so you were tired, and that's why you lost.
No. But they were 4-0 up at half, and that was the only game we were getting really thrashed. So we tied Brazil and Edmonton. That was another thing. It was really bizarre because it was like
that. You tied Brazil. Right? People forget that, I think.
Starting lineup. Like that,
that's unbelievable.
And Romario.
There was like 300, 400 Brazilian media there, as you can imagine. They're then just going to shift rate and follow the team during the World Cup. And they were screaming. Who was the manager then? Pereira?
Who was the
manager? You wanted him out. Fired. You can't beat Canada. You like draw to Canada. And the last 10 minutes, we were like, I thought we could have taken it. Like, it rocked them when Verduzco scored the equalizing goal.
Wow.
And everybody was there. It was like 55,000 at Edmonton. And everybody's there, and that was one of the only pro-Canadian crowd, obviously not a ton of Brazilians in Edmonton. And
they just went crazy because they could not believe it. They were just kind of going there to watch Lambs to the Slaughter, probably, right?
What a rare experience for you, not only to challenge what ended up being the eventual World Cup winners, but to have a pro-Canadian crowd in a full Canadian stadium. That's shocking.
Right. Never happened. I can't.
Again.
Never. Yeah, I can't remember ever having a crowd. Maybe in Swongard Stadium in Burnaby, we might outnumber the El Salvadorians maybe by a couple hundreds or something. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Right? So you're playing these great teams, right? And you're losing them or you're drawing them, right? Generally speaking, would you rather experience those kind of teams, right, and not come out on top? Or would you rather play the Caymans and win 11-0?
No,
or Bermuda win 5-1?
You want to be tested,
As a footballer. You do want But what about when your career finishes and you look at your goal totals and Carl Laren's now the leading goal scorer of all time for Canada and he thinks back on that hat trick and goes, pretty fucking glad I played Bermuda that year. It's part of it too, right?
Who do you think the most disappointed player in the Canadian system has got to be? Jonathan David. Like, seriously, at the end of the day, he doesn't play. Does Cavallini play as much? Or, you know what I mean? Or, like, at the end of his career, he's going to look back and go, yeah, if you take away five goals from so-and-so and give me five, you know what I mean? Like, that was basically a padding of the stats, really, for an opportunity that just does not come around very often.
Well, I think maybe more so we would look at Kyle Larin and say, you know, would Larin be able to have got the hat trick and padded his stats? Because I think what's happened now is Kyle Larin has pushed Cavallini out, which no one would have expected.
Yeah, Cavallini's out for sure. I think you have Jonathan David and you have Kyle Larin. They're your goal-scoring threats.
Certainly the Whitecaps wouldn't have expected that. And you looked at the trajectory. Kyle Larin had kind of completely fallen off.
Then he had the controversy, of course. Now, then he goes to Turkey and he just bosses it at Beşiktaş this season, right?
After going away on loan, though, he was a bit of a flop at Beşiktaş.
It was a disappointment, wasn't he? He's got it back.
Huge. But Beşiktaş has always had talented frontmen and capable frontmen, big names. So I think it was always going to be kind of a tough nut to crack. And Turkey's a very unique league in its own right. So,
you know what? That country is football crazy.
Their national team right now is fantastic. Watch out for Turkey, by the way, at Euro this summer.
That's your dark horse?
They might be my Greece of 2004. Ooh. Could be Turkey this year. Yeah,
they should always,
a bit of an insult
to
Turkey.
They should do better than they actually do, but I think there's a lot of internal issues and things there.
In the Turkish side.
Yeah, and just the whole national, the whole football system there, you know.
Well, you know, Atiba's staying there, and I think he's probably the best human being in the world.
Yeah.
No one looks healthier. Like, if I want to, you know, he's the healthiest looking human being I've ever seen in my life, Atiba Hutchinson.
He's the same age as you, so it's pretty incredible.
I know, look at him.
He looks exactly the same as he did when he was 20.
25, yeah.
I was at One Soccer last week, speaking to David Edgar, who knows Atiba really well, and Atiba went to... Edgar thought he went to a gluten-free diet the last couple of years. It changed everything. As I drink beer right now.
What do you mean, you think?
Well, that's what David Edgar was saying. That's what he thought. He thought it was a gluten-free diet. But regardless, he is such... Forget the fact that he's a fantastic footballer. And he's, 38 Eight. Now? 38.
38 years old.
And he'll still be the guy, you know, commanding that team for the next year or so at least. He just looks so healthy. He's the picture of health. Like, Jesus Christ, Atiba, what is your secret?
I think what's incredible, too, is that you see...
DNA.
There's not too many... Well, I certainly don't. We were just talking about last week, Wonga was talking about, you know, the body changing and reinventing itself. I've been trying to run faster for 34 years, Wonga.
Yeah, but you know, it'll be you and I, and, you know, JC here, and Wonga too. He was an athlete, Wonga, but... I feel harder for Craigs and Dannys and ex-professionals who once upon a time were like... elite athletes, right? Incredible. I've always been a sack of shit. So even though I'm 46 now, the difference between me at 46 and 26 is nothing compared to Craig at 26.
Oh, it's put like that snow, you know, you spray on the Christmas tree.
No mirrors, no Ronaldo house.
Yeah,
for you,
I just put a little hole. I just put a little hole just enough to see you.
Fucking your nose hairs.
That's right, them too.
I'm getting ear hair now. Just on the lobe.
You've got ear hair?
on the low.
Oh, that's because the neighborhood you live in.
I saw one in this. I was driving in the car. I saw one in this. You know, the sun beaming in, and I was like, looked in the rearview mirror. What the hell's that? I thought it was just a stray, like a real hair. And I was like, no, it's coming from my ear. I'm like pulling my ear.
It hurts like, hell.
Oh, does it ever?
I never had nose hairs or ear hairs until I hit like 40. And B, you're not there yet. But
this is what I get to look forward to in 12 years.
It sucks.
I didn't have chest hair until I was like in my late 20s. You know that?
That's not true.
No, true. I understand that. It comes.
I had a full beard, but the chest hair didn't come until I was late 20s.
The scraggly hairs.
Did you have to buy the beer? Scraggly. Did you have to go to the liquor store?
Did I have to, what, was I the one privileged, you mean?
Well, you have to have a beard and balls, right? Like,
I had one or the other. I'll not tell you which one. No, I was not the person that was asked to.
Okay.
Back to the Bahrain Grand Prix story.
So you had the full range. Bahrain is the Las Vegas of the Middle East, okay? It is very much that. So you have everything. So the elite of the elite are there. The richest of the rich are there, most weekends anyway. You had every type of event the same way you do in Vegas. And one flyer that I saw on a lamppost was little people tossing.
They're called midgets.
It's little people tossing. And it was written in Arabic, so the fact that I pulled that midgets. Much was just from the graphics used. It was little people tossing. And I don't know, you know, it was at least $90 Canadian based on the exchange rate of the time.
To toss the midget.
Didn't go.
The little person off.
No, to attend. It was like a circuit. To watch it. Wow. $90 Canadian. It was in a bar. And you're paying $15 a pint. It's an expensive place.
So little person tossing was a...
So how'd you do?
Gold medal.
So you were good at it. You found your sport.
For the record, I did not go to this event. Okay, I didn't support that. I was spending $15 a pint to drink in an Irish pub and play darts with my cousin. We went to the...
Well, there's little people in Irish pubs, generally speaking.
Good point.
They're called leprechauns.
We do segue back and forth a little bit.
A little bit.
But we were talking about how many teams in FIFA. Well, there's 211 on their website.
So what are the new ones? Tell us the new ones.
Who's bottom?
Well, just
who's dead last?
Yeah, who's at the bottom?
Give us the bottom five. Like,
well, speaking of Bahrain, they're 210.
Whoa, 210.
Mm-hmm.
Bahrain's a very cool place. Very cool place. The Formula One Grand Prix season opener was just in Bahrain last weekend.
Lewis Hamilton.
Holy cow. Cayman Islands are 203. I mean, holy jeez.
Wow, 203. Wow. Where is Canada, though? If we're... 70,
I think it was 73.
If you're using the carbonated beverage rankings of the world, we're 73. Did you just open a carbonated beverage of which I world rank?
Yes.
Sounds like it. I don't know if the mic
Wong is dropping the Grey Goose tonight with some buble.
Is it a holiday tomorrow or something? What are you doing? Use your microphone. Sorry, he's the producer.
Heading to church for Holy Thursday in about 15 minutes. When we're done.
Holy Thursday.
Why do you become a Texan when you talk about religion?
Because it turned... I gave
do
up.
Eat, do you
I
eat
gave
meat?
Up Catholicism.
Do you eat meat on Good Friday?
No, we used to eat potato pancakes.
Whoa.
Fish.
Yeah, fish.
Super
is
Irish.
Fish, if you are fish, that way inclined.
Fish, yeah.
I eat as much meat as possible. The rarer,
so you,
the better.
See, I don't live my life going against it. It's just very odd to me that I was brought up in that environment.
Going back to me being Mr. International Sports, so back in many years ago, a show called Sports World, I would host and
champion
and,
is the word I would use.
Headline Sports, but we used to get this international feed in. It was called APTN, and it was SNTV was part of it. SNTV was a sports part component, but every Good Friday they'd had these horrible images from around the world of these nutcase fucking Catholics celebrating Good Friday and these like crucifixions.
Masochist.
It was the most disturbing imagery I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible. And any second guessing I had about organized religion was doused. Let me tell you, watching that nonsense.
Mm.
Holy crap. It was awful.
Well, you must have been brought up religious.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic. Very much so. And I dabbled in born-again Christianity for a minute in childhood, I guess.
You did?
For a minute. Yeah, my mother was introduced to it. And I grew up in Windsor, as we've talked about before. So Detroit has a very prominent Christian community. And I absolutely loved, if I was going to spend 4 hours at church instead of 1 hour at Mass, might as well be some good music. So that was kind of the pull. I spent many a Sunday mornings and afternoons in Detroit churches. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming, did you?
I also went to an
all Muslim high school. What a story!
An all Muslim high school?
That's correct.
Really? Apart from you?
Apart from me.
So it wasn't all.
It was also mostly. So it was a Catholic school. However, of the 1,200 students that were in the school, 900 of them were Muslim. So it was a very unique situation and a very great place
did
to
they,
go
break
to high school.
To pray 5 times a day?
I don't believe they did. However, if anyone were to request that, I believe they would have been allowed.
Did they bring prayer mats to school?
No, they didn't do that.
No.
But the masses were interesting because it was a school sanctioned, you know, Catholic school. We had to have mass a few times a year, whatever it was, and it was in the gymnasium. So you would have, you know, a priest, and I remember the priest being Portuguese. The entire school is there, and only 200 people are standing to participate, and the rest are, you know, quite respectful. But it was a much different looking crowd, I'm sure.
Well,
much different.
I don't go to churches except for funerals and weddings and christenings or whatever. There's like I feel
like a fraud if you were to go.
Not awkward, but I feel a little disrespectful to the people who believe. Because I think you believe whatever you want, especially in that spiritual world. So do whatever you want. It's just the organized religion, back again, for me, is the same as...
I grew up also in Catholic schools. And now I take great pride at weddings and funerals, not genuflecting when I go into the pews and not kneeling down.
You're anti.
I am very anti, yeah. You know, at some point, we'll get when this whole COVID crap's over, we'll bring... my mate Michael Corrin into the show, right? He's a huge football fan, big Spurs fan. He's actually an ordained priest now.
He was so right wing about 8 years ago.
Yeah, no, he's got an amazing story actually. How he changed his whole thought process.
And were you always friends with him, or did you become friends with him after he changed?
No, before, like through football, basically. But
football made him religious.
Did the change?
Yeah, absolutely. Sun TV is where I met him first. I was on the show. Talking about the World Cup in like 2000.
So what was like what were you talking about? What was his like views that he was making public compared to now?
You know, we'll bring Michael on to explain it all.
Because I never knew him before, but like the stuff he puts out now is like, I'm not even religious at all.
Well, I remember him from back in the day.
He seems to have a good take on it.
I think he questioned like gay marriage, for example. I believe, and I apologize if I'm wrong, but very much he's the opposite now. But he'll come on and talk about sport and religion, because obviously religion is huge in sports. You know, you see every time someone scores a goal, comes on as a freaking sub. You know, they're doing the old sign to the Father and the Mother and the Holy Ghost. Thank you. It's been a long time, but it'd be a good chat though. So we'll get him in the garage at some point.
It would be
great to have David Miller is going to come on. He was planning to.
Former Toronto Mayor
all
David
smart
Miller.
Guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we can get some smart people too who'll just sit here and stare at us like.
What am I doing?
Douchebags.
Atheist Sherman. The only pew you have time for is Mallory Pew of the U.S. Women's National Team.
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm thinking the Cayman Islands coach is called Pew.
Really?
I think it's for Jeffrey Pew or something.
Jeff Pew.
I think it's Jeff Pew. I think, you know what I've got in my little black book here, actually.
While you're looking, I've got to correct myself because for some reason that loaded the 2018 world rankings. So there is only 210. So whoever that was, they're gone.
So, wow, you're 3 years behind.
And Bahrain aren't as bad now.
They've improved. 197th.
Ooh, where are they?
Come on, Bahrain.
Who's the worst then?
Come on.
Yalla, Bahrain. Come on.
Bahrain, Tallulah, Ray. Come on. Bahrain, Tallulah.
196.
Come on, Bahrain.
Is that a real song?
Come on, 206?
Yeah.
Climbing. Who's worse then? Who's the worst team in the world right now?
I don't even know.
Ben Pugh is the Cayman Islands coach. He's from Suffolk, England.
What country is that?
SMR. San Marino?
Yeah. No.
Could be San Marino.
They're not the worst, are they?
Could be. They've still got semi-professional players suiting up to right play the internationals.
There's no way they're worse than the Americans.
San Marino? Jeff, the voice vendor... You know, that the most cultured and professional voice person in this entire room keeps forgetting he hasn't got a mic.
They literally can't pick you up.
What's the guy to my right mumbling about over here?
What are you looking up, Craig?
Am I mumbling?
Yeah. You're going across stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You were looking
talking
up
to myself? That reminds me, actually, I'll tell you a quick story.
Please do.
About mumbling. Bobby Ferguson used to be Sir Bobby Robson's right-hand man at Ipswich. And then when Bobby went to do England manager, Bobby Ferguson then stepped up in the first-team manager. Not really the personality to be a first-team coach. Excellent coach, but just he couldn't take the pressure or, you know, people criticizing or, you know, things like this. So he used to hammer Frank all the time. He used to be, but then
Frank Yallop.
And so then one day Frank's playing in the MLS for Tampa Bay.
Thomas Rongan's Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's right. Thomas Rongan. It was a big part of Frankie's coaching career and on to Washington, right? So Frank says to me, "Guess who got a hold of me?" "Well, who?" "Bobby. He was on holidays in Florida and got a hold of him. And he used to just rip Frank. Rip him. He'd all be the first guy on the team sheet, but he would be the punching bag. Like, absolutely punching bag. Even when Terry Butcher would take the blame, he'd be like, no, it's Yallop's fault. It's fucking Yallop. He's afraid to pass you the ball."
Is he the one that named you Stacks?
Who, Frank?
No.
Oh, Bobby Ferguson?
Bobby Ferguson.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was a player that shouted it out. But Fergie loved it because he was in the room. He was like, "Ooh, Stacks, I liked it." He didn't like people with their eyes too close together. He cut one guy that came for a trial. He didn't even get out in the field to try out.
He didn't like the look of his face.
No, he says, "Was that the guy I passed him? I passed him in the tunnel. And Brian Owen, the guy whose name is one of the coaches, is like, "Yeah, he's here on trial." And he's like, "Don't like him.
Just what didn't like the look of his face.
His eyes are too close together. You can't trust him. Like Yallop and fucking Putney."
That's brilliant.
That might explain why I'm not on television anymore. Someone doesn't like the look of my face.
So anyway, he gets a hold of Frankie. They go golfing. And Frank says, over the ball, he's teeing off, and he's like, he mumbled. And then he hits the ball. Like, after about 10 holes or so, he's over the ball, mumbling again, and he pulls back off the ball, and he says to Frank, "Would you stop talking?" Frank, like, he actually believes Frank's talking.
Sure.
And he's like, "It's himself, a fucking guy.
Talking to himself.
He blamed
poor Frank Yallop.
Yeah. Yikes. Frank had a couple. He golfed with Harry Redknapp at Pebble Beach.
Wow.
How cool is that?
I feel like
Mark Watson and Frank Yallop and Harry.
The English who love golfing, they really invest in golfing in incredible places. And English in general get to travel to places North Americans would never get to travel to. Like Northern Africa, Egypt has some incredible coastal resorts. Tunisia, I've got a couple of friends. "Oh, yeah, Tunisia, bruv. You got to go to Tunisia." I'm like, "What did you do on Tuesday? What? You mean Tunisia? Yeah, Tunisia, bruv." "Oh, okay. Tunisia. We never go there." I feel like when it comes to golf, someone like Harry Redknapp, he's probably golfed at Augusta. Am I right?
Oh, I don't know. Augusta's
tough to get on?
Yeah.
But he might find somebody. I bet you Thomas Rongan is golfing at Augusta.
Nobody at Augusta that Harry would know.
Nobody at Augusta that would know Harry.
That's not Harry's crowd. It would be in England, like if he went to Wentworth or something like that.
Well, St. Andrews? He's golfed there?
Or St. Andrews. Right.
Your best place to golf? You and I have golfed in a few places.
That place at Victoria Park in Danforth.
Dantonia.
It's the only place we could bring them.
Yeah. That's my $13. Round, it was the only place that would allow me in. You're right.
Probably worse than you are. So if now I'm never, ever going to accept an invitation for these assholes to go golfing.
We talked about this last week. What we are going to do is 2 shots each on Forest, all 7 of us or 6 of us.
Shots, soccer
like
shots.
What, like
soccer
tequila?
In net, we get to shoot on them.
Okay.
And then
that's
play down.
6, 12,
and Craiger,
18.
Craiger said that the guy who would have the most pressure would be Danny.
Oh, for sure.
Have to score on.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have to win.
What are you thinking, Greg? Like,
well, I'm going to let your guys in. Danny won't be listening to this, so I'll let yours in, right? I'll tell you in advance. I'll be like, I'll go right.
What?
Hey, you got to let me score first. Top corner. Beautiful goal.
Yeah.
Dunlop
and, you
kicks know what,
TSN back in, I want to say,
this is '02. An amazing prank.
Corey O'Hanley, this guy that still works at TSN, young guy at the time. You know, like guys were missing penalties in the World Cup or whatever. And you know, fans, armchair fans are like, even at TSN, guys that didn't know very well, they're just like, how can you miss? Like, how do they miss? And da da da. So we went out and did a feature with a guy who would be Corey O'Hanley, you know, 5'4", a little overweight, average guy, couch potato, sports guy, you know, can't miss. So we get him out there and he takes, we're like, oh, he's going to take 10. He hit the first one over, the second one over, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all over the net.
Roberto Baggio just skying.
That takes something, actually.
It did, and he was actually striking them well. He just could not keep the ball. That was unbelievable. It got to the point where it's like, well, you got to score one. So he literally like said, I'm going to go this way, and you just side-footed in that corner. So it looks like, you know, you got one out of 10 at least. Took forever. He didn't hit the target, Dan.
No, but you said it took a lot. So he had 10 shots. How many more shots? Was it another 10? Was it another?
Oh, probably.
So he went, really, he went 0 for 30 or 0 for 20.
Now, with the
because he wasn't hitting the target. When he hit the first one, I was actually like, oh, he's going to be fine because he struck it well enough to, you know, go over the bar. So I figured, you know, I can't tell where he's going. So, right? How can I read a guy? He doesn't know where he's going himself.
Exactly.
Did you go strutting around town that night after your 0 for 20?
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah.
Greg's walking on and gets dressed up in his kit.
So you're, forget Deitch, but you're, you know, facing us, for example, right?
Yeah.
What, are you looking at our eyes or just, are you?
No,
it's like. What are you doing? You're reacting because we're so bad.
Well, I mean, we're, you know what? Like, the trouble is, and that's it with a penalty, is that you're like, you have no. You're not using any of your ability to close down an angle and it's freaking 8 yards wide. It's big. So if anybody can strike the ball with any type of power, you're just, you know, if you can get it up in the corners, you're not going to get
goal,
it.
The goal
matter.
Scorer has the advantage, the attacking player, obviously, right?
For sure.
So when goal cup, when you're standing,
I'm still going to guess
post,
if you're going to hit it, if you're going to be able to strike the ball.
You're guessing still.
I'm still going to be guessing somewhere.
So in the goal cup and you're standing at the goalpost, right?
Yeah.
Just before they run up.
Yeah.
Do you think that worked? I mean, obviously it did work, but do you think it got into their heads?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you try the same thing on Wonger?
No.
Yeah.
Because Wonger will be concentrating on one thing, and that's just hitting the ball behind it.
No chance
as
you're
hard
guessing.
As you can.
No chance.
Just smash it.
You're guessing on me. You're absolutely reactionary.
Slowest run up ever.
Right? Like,
Jesus Christ, like, have a cigarette.
Yeah, that's right. He starts from the center circle.
This destined for slaughter pig running up to the ball in the spot. Yeah.
That'd be fun, though.
I can't wait to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick penalty kick story. The only time that I had second time I've ever kicked a penalty kick.
By the way.
Say again?
Everybody's agreed to, but nobody's actually, I haven't agreed to doing this.
What?
Well,
yes.
You sign an NDA.
Absolutely,
6, 12, 18. That's 24 shots right here.
No.
Look at us, Craig. Look at us.
There's only 6 of us.
Yeah, 24. Each.
I get to shoot on you guys, too.
I'll play keeper for you.
I'll play keeper.
That's a story.
Hey, I faced Alan Shearer. That's one thing that's going to come in me and you.
That's right.
What's that?
I faced Alan Shearer in goal. Alan Shearer is like one of the greatest penalty takers of all time. I think it's fair to say, right?
I don't remember saving one of his. I don't know if he definitely got one or two pens.
Did you stop any from Alan Shearer?
No, I got my hand to one of them, and it broke my wrist, pretty much. Right. He actually would tell me, I'm going, like, after a while, he goes, all right, I'm going left now, left, low. He'd tell me, he'd point, and I
he'd
didn't
smash
come fucking close to it.
He liked that.
Just hit the ball so cleanly, didn't he? Oh, it's pure power.
It's a different sound, right?
It is.
Much like your Geordie accent, which you should really do more often.
More so, yeah.
I think it's an incredible
Geordie Jordison.
That would be a great name.
A little character.
That'd be a good one.
Would it be as filthy as Ulf Ulfesson?
I don't know. What about T-Side Tintin? Remember that?
T-Side Tintin.
We should bring that again.
We should bring that.
Dan Wonger's never seen this. We'll share this on the Footy Prime Twitter page. By the time you've seen this, by the way, subscribe, like, and review. We'll have posted T-Side Tintin episodes from late 2000s.
Yeah.
Where essentially they take episodes of the famed child's cartoon Tintin and have T-Side voices from Middlesbrough.
This is
awesome.
Shit. Oh, it's the funniest thing.
Very vulgar, mate. Very vulgar.
Very, very vulgar. and Tintin, the redhead with the little twirl in the front.
Redhead.
Yeah.
He's bald. Redhead.
And they put it like
a
Geordie accent.
Twirl in the front of his head.
Teesside.
They're from
Teesside Tintin, and he's filthy.
It's incredibly vulgar.
So are people from Teesside.
Good point. So it's incredibly accurate. We used to play
that's right. Sid the Sexist came from that area, too.
Sid the Sexist, yeah. He was a Geordie, wasn't he?
Now he's on Breakfast Television.
Nice.
Sharman and I used to work in Sirius Satellite Radio, which was incredible because there were no rules. I didn't tell the penalty kick story. Can I tell that story quickly? So I set up this memorial tournament. A good friend of mine tragically passed away. He'd worked for several different media companies. So I got all the media companies together to play in this charity tournament. Stephen Caldwell worked with him. I wanted Stephen Caldwell on my team. This is Johnny Gale. Yeah, Jonathan Gale. So they worked together at TSN. I said, you know, the TSN team, they'll be fine. So it was my co-ed league team, and we wear Spurs shirts with Johnny G. patches on the side. He played with us briefly. So Steve says, well, have you got room for my kids? Yeah, sure. We can get your kids in, 10 and 12. Great players. Well, they are endurance gazelles, okay? To which, obviously, we've discussed many times, I am not. They're also incredibly competitive, maybe even more so than their former professional Scotland-capped father. So we get to a penalty kick shootout, and I said, you know what? I'm shooting last here. So one of the kids who wasn't chosen, I think one of them did shoot, one did not, says to his dad, Dad, if you're going to let Dunlop shoot, if he doesn't score, we're out of this fucking tournament, Dad. And he says, son, it's his tournament. If he wants to shoot, let him shoot, for Christ's sake. We'll just see what happens.
That's your Stevie Coppola impression.
Horrible, isn't it?
It's pretty
not bad.
The
not
kid
bad.
Goes,
I've heard better.
Oh my God, what is the point, right? So what confidence? So Stevie, I've heard all this as well. Like, I'm ready to take the shot, okay? I've heard all this.
He's got one tear coming down his cheek.
So is this kid? Is he like six?
So, yeah, four.
You've met him before.
He's 4 years old.
You met Stevie's kids at the old Breakfast Stars.
He's not four. I believe they were 10 and 12. So Stevie picks up the ball, knowing I've heard this conversation from his young son, who has no confidence in me whatsoever.
And you had none of you before at it anyway.
True. So he picks up the World Cup replica ball that costs $18 at Canadian Tire, and he hands it to me, and he says, go on, mate. Whatever happens, it's okay. But try and have a go, eh? All right. So
try and have a go. So patronizing.
So I put the... Yeah, exactly. And he laughs, right? So I put the ball down. I do my Ronaldo shuffle. And I'm looking at my friend in goal. And I don't know if Michael Greco is going to allow me to score or if he's going to be professional like Craig and Guess. I hit the best shot I've ever hit in my life. It goes in and I didn't even know how to celebrate. I should have just Ronaldo... See! But instead, I just like awkwardly fist pumped and laughed. And then the children who doubted me jump into my arms and celebrate. We're off the final. We lost 6-0. But I got us there.
At the very least, the Caldwells respect you now.
Yeah, young Caldwells. They respect me. They're still in elementary school.
There you go. See, that was your moment.
Did you really do the Ronaldo shuffle?
Everybody's got a moment.
Shuffle?
Yeah.
What's a Ronaldo shuffle?
That's what you said.
I said that?
Yeah.
I've confused D-Row with Ronaldo, and I've put them together.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
The Ronaldo celebration?
On the run-up, you said you did a Ronaldo shuffle.
Well, that's what I meant.
Okay.
That jump.
Yeah.
Emblematic.
But did you shake and bake?
I should have. I didn't know what to do.
Ronaldo shake and bake.
I'm trying to think of like what player who's like... You wouldn't expect to score a goal. It would be me. Didn't know how to celebrate. That's exactly what it was. It was like the lineman.
Yeah, but you want to celebrate like you've been there before.
You want to celebrate you have been there before.
Right. If you run off taking Barry your Sanders. Jersey, like running around the block, like people would have gone,
look at a sports bra.
His first goal ever? Or what? What's wrong with this guy? If you just give it the little fist bump?
Yeah. You're right. So, like, you don't want to be that authentic. You definitely want to be authentic on social.
Shear didn't do much, did he?
Just arm up in the air.
That was it.
Anyways, while Brendan's not here, because he has to pee. We have to thank him, welcome him, which we did, but he's doing our new social stuff. So everyone, please share. That's a little business side, but they're fun. They're little cutouts, and Craig shares a lot. Like, Craig is going to be on a lot.
Mr. Social Media over here.
Ooh.
Never. Nope.
Like, never. I go weeks without even looking at it.
Only this
week. To be fair, though, like, it was, you know, I don't know if it was earlier on or with that had anything to do with it or whatever, but it was more, like, toxic used to get more toxic shit.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, when you're out there and you're exposed to the masses.
What is
more
the
hate.
Worst thing? This is more of a Charms question, but I'm bringing it up. What's the worst thing a viewer, a listener, just a purveyor of your broadcast and your media, whether it's print, video, audio, across the board, what is the worst thing that someone said that hurt you and then something that made you laugh?
Well, it's funny about, you know, being hurt, because when you first start in the business, those you know, be the tweets or emails, because when I started this before freaking Twitter, but emails, they would hurt, right? And I'd hold on to it. You get like 20 great emails and then one bad one, it would haunt you, and you'd be in a real bad way, pissed off for a while, but then you get used to it and then you grow a thick skin. You get threats. I've got a few threats. You know, one guy actually called and left a message on my phone saying, you know, I forget what I said. It's probably against Italy or something. Generally was. Or Arsenal.
That's right.
And he can ever come to Montreal, I'm going to kick your ass. Don't you fucking dare come to Montreal. And so I called him back. He actually left his number. And I called him back. And as generally is the case in these situations, he totally backed down and apologized. Oh, I'm sorry. I was in a bad way, man. I love you. I love your show. I was like, shut up. Shut up. So you get those ones. But nothing I really hung on to too bad. A couple of Photoshop geniuses, you know, would you know, create some pictures.
Yeah, but that's okay. So that's threatening. But there's those ones that make you laugh too, where they're either threatening, just crazy.
Well, the ones that they all accuse me of being like a Manchester United fan. I'm too biased. I'm like, holy shit. Have you ever watched me? Have you been following me at least for like a week? Because
and that hurts why, you as a journalist. Like,
what?
As a commentator,
all the freaking teams. Yeah. Why would you think that? Right. So you get those occasionally. But I don't know. You know, it's funny. I used to get far more at the Score than at Sportsnet. Even though Sportsnet was a much bigger broadcast. You know, I think the ones that when
somebody says he's ugly,
but those ones you get when they mention something that you are very aware of, say it's a you know, something about your delivery or something that you know you've got to work on, you're not very good at, and they call it, those ones hurt the most. It's like, fuck, I know I can't pronounce the word Bobby or something like that, you know? There's some words you avoid, right? There's
for
some
me,
crutches as well, and for, they call you out on it.
Well, for me it was, I know my hair is gray. You big jerk. I'm younger and my hair is going gray. To be honest, I would get the most insults I would get oftentimes were very homophobic slurs. No. And I wish I was aware enough of the time to be more, I don't know, defensive, I guess, in that moment and be more respectful, I guess, in that moment to respond and out those people who were making those comments. And I didn't do that. But the insults that I would get, the only ones that really got to me were if someone made a mistake on the show and they would say the whole show sucked. I was like, no, I've done really well. And there may have been a slip up, but I was good, you know?
Yeah, that misspelling on the key wasn't my freaking fault.
Thank you very much.
Why would you call that out?
Exactly.
You misspelled Boston. It's not my fault. I didn't type it.
I'm sorry they put an H in Atletico Madrid, but they were playing Atletico Bilbao, okay? Athletic Bilbao.
You know, actually, you mentioned that. I used to get the ones saying, oh, you're stealing a Canadian's job. How dare they bring you over just for this? It pissed me off. Like, fuck off. I've been here for, 30 years now. Been here for 20 years, 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah, but once you let me be the Twitter guy.
I'm Canadian.
Guy,
I've taken the test. I'm Canadian. I've taken the test.
But once,
stop it.
Once you let me be the Twitter guy, I stopped tweeting that.
I appreciate
so
that.
Once you
Thank
allowed
you.
Me on the
Thank
show,
you.
I stopped tweeting
I used
that.
To engage with them, actually, you know, and then I learned not to after a while. All right. All right. So it's time for footy picks. I will avoid this, but Craig and Punners there. Off the top here, Premier League's back. Leicester City against Man City. The first game since they announced Kun Aguero is leaving the club at the end of the season. Good match.
It is a great match, isn't it? You know, it's a hard one because, like, City are playing so well, but Leicester, you know, doing well themselves. City are in everything. They've got a lot going on. Coming back from international duty. 2-2.
Ooh. I was going to go draw as well, but both perhaps a bit impotent. 1-1, I was going to say.
Impotent. Good word. Never been used on Footy Garage or Prime before, ever.
Arsenal-Liverpool, the Michael Thomas derby, as we'd like to call it.
You go first this time.
I wasn't listening. Who in Liverpool?
What's the Michael Thomas derby? So obviously Arsenal.
Oh, Arsenal, right. If yeah. you'd asked this match first, I would have said 1-1. But having already said that, I feel pressure to give a different
result. Don't get pressured by
don't go
your
impotent
first day.
Again.
It should have nothing to do with it. If you want to go 1-1, do it.
No, I'm going to take risks. I'm going to say Arsenal 2, Liverpool 1.
Wow.
You
I'm going to say 1-1.
It's basically must-win time for Liverpool, right?
It
top
is.
Four football.
Oh,
and all their
oh,
ambitions.
Man.
By the way, LeBron James owns a lot more of that club now than he did.
Oh, we've not got into that
last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, FSG have.
So, how much is he own of the club now?
Well, so he's part of this Red Bird, I think, is it Enterprises?
Oh, yeah.
Who have bought 10% stake in FSG. So he's now got a place on the board. It was interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
The bigger swing to that, though, is because he had a percentage of Liverpool previously.
Yeah.
But now he has a percentage of the Red Sox and that entire enterprise.
FSG, yeah.
So,
sports group. It's interesting. Smart.
I mean, when he wins a title for the Celtics in a couple of years, when the Celtics finish in the lottery and they draft Bronny, young LeBron, putting that theory out there.
Ooh.
Hmm? He can just go to the team and just stamp his own checks. Was there another game he gave us?
Yeah, there is. Coming up is Newcastle. Newcastle.
Say it correctly.
Introduced by our new Geordie Jordison, our new character. Castle against Spurs, right? So a couple of managers on the cusp of being fired.
Two managers that couldn't be any less alike.
Who's more likable? Steve Bruce?
Ooh.
Or Jose Mourinho? Steve Bruce is so cuddly.
Depends on who you're asking.
Well, you know what? Like, if you talk to people that know both of them, they're really, really well liked. Paul Pescasolito knows Steve Bruce really well.
Mm. Does he rip him?
And he said he's a fantastic man.
He writes children's books, for Christ's sakes, Steve Bruce. Doesn't he?
Wasn't that a
was it a, detective?
A joke?
No, no, it's true. He writes books.
When I was 16, I watched...
Actually,
hey, I was
I'm 17. Pretty sure.
17, I watched Steve Bruce score for Norwich against Ipswich. I was in the crowd, in the pen, all barbed in.
When you were with the kids team.
That was nuts. No, I went...
With the away supporters?
Well,
there
was a couple
of
youth players went. We got on the train and went to Norwich. That was the sort of first experience in a derby, like getting horses taking us all the way down to the...
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a Milk Cup semifinal. Yeah,
Milk Cup.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was...
It's when it meant something, yeah.
So for the North Americans that didn't understand the reference, you've taken the train, you've gone with a group of 100, 200, 1,000?
No, there were several thousand, yeah.
And so you've had a police escort, escort, walk from the train station to the stadium.
Yeah, there's no cameras, right? So you're barbed wired in. It was guys were climbing up in between the barriers between the two crowds, and coins are... The guy was holding on to the, you know, he's up there like this nutcase Ipswich fan gets up right up between the cage, and they're just going, okay, you stupid bastard, I'm going to, and they just peppered him with coins. So he's got his hands on the thing. His knuckles are bleeding from getting hit with coins.
And they weren't pound coins. They were like, what?
No, 50p freaking ones that literally open you up.
What would fly?
There was a guy literally right in front of me because they were just crammed in there. You're just pissing and peeing at your feet too when you had to.
With the program, you roll it upright and
You didn't do that either. There's nothing. Just down the next guy's leg, basically. So this guy right in front of me, I hear this thump, and all of a sudden I look around and he turns around. He's like, oh, and he took one right in the forehead and the blood's just running down his forehead. I was like, wow, this is nuts.
But just to like for the Canadian sports fan out there, right, to kind of put it in context, right? So imagine like, you know, you're in Mississauga, you got a nice subdivision, nice house, you know, double car garage, you know, little
yeah, that's right.
Garden out back there, you know, mum's in the front pottering around in the flower bed. And then from nowhere, you got this street, your street is full of thousands of football fans and police horses walking down, chanting through a residential area. That's what it's like around these grounds.
But the thing is, the yards aren't that big because, like, you can literally, you know, think
about
Coronation Street. Like, you're down streets like that.
It's pretty wild.
You're grabbing the front doorknob, like, it's right there. Like, it's...
There really isn't a North American experience quite like that. You're right that it's, you know, they're not walking down Burnham Thorpe and Mavis. They're walking down the streets in between that are
East York,
two lanes.
And the Salmon.
They're
and
walking
both fans,
up Salmon Avenue.
They really do want to hurt somebody.
Mortimer.
They want to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And they know you know what? They might get hurt too.
Was it the Newcastle fan who punched the police horse?
What? Yes, I think it was. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't remember who.
Well, Millwall fan did that too, but.
Was it Millwall too?
West Ham is the. Yeah. There's a history of this. It's quite common.
West Ham fan. Maybe.
I would love to, if I would love to see, you know, what the ratio between opposing players punched and police horses. My introduction to England was Newcastle. I think I've told this before. My friend who's a Magpie, we bookended Villa and Fulham were the next weekend. So we bookended those two and made a trip. So we landed in Manchester, took the train immediately to Newcastle for a proper Friday night. This was at the peak of Geordie Shore. Forrest has heard this half of this story at least. And the match was Sunderland away at Newcastle, the big derby. So it was the first time I'd seen what Craig just described, the visiting fans being ushered in and like encapsulated by police. But these were Newcastle police who I'm sure, you know, knew where the coins were coming from and might have ducked if they were coming. But the throngs of Sunderland supporters who were ready to have a go was massive. And we were there. This was 2 hours before the match when the opposing fans showed up. And the crowd that was there to greet them, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced in my life. It was unbelievable. And the mob mentality. I was chanting horrible words that started with C at these Sunderland supporters. I had no affiliation in this fight.
Craig just Googled
punches horses. There's a lot.
So give some scores here.
Have we ever had a really smooth footy show?
Give us
2-0 Spurs.
Absolutely not.
2-0 Spurs? Yeah. All right. Is Bruce gone?
I hope not.
He wasn't fired before the break, was he? B? Was Bruce fired before the break? And now I'm thinking about it. Was he fired before the break?
I'll check.
Mr. Interweb over here. Craig. You're really growing, figuring out this interweb. Social media. I don't think he was, yeah.
Spurs 3, Newcastle 1.
Okay. We got
Spurs 3, is he in Newcastle 1.
Has he got a job still?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Bruce? Yes? Okay, he wasn't fired. Good.
A journalist apparently in Newcastle is urging him to walk away.
Why wouldn't he? Too nice a guy to go through that. Okay, so it's what, an hour and a half in, more than that, I think, now, right?
We've got a habit of making
Joe
this
Rogan
a full
does
match.
2 hour podcasts and he makes lots of money.
Newcastle, they did a survey. 12,000 supporters took part in it. 95% don't have any faith in Bruce. 95%.
Well, to be honest, if you took a poll of this room, 95% don't have faith in me being on this show or scoring a goal.
Every now and again, it's like, oh, yeah, Dunlop. Wonder how he's doing. I actually, it's my birthday on Monday, actually.
Happy birthday.
This past Monday? Doug Ford's fucked it up now.
I'm going to buy you a pie.
Can you buy me a pie? Yeah. Thanks. That's just what I want.
Like a lemon meringue or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. We should probably say enough's enough, Christ's sakes. And as people tell us, 45 minutes is a perfect length for a podcast.
So we've doubled it.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, you should be. If you get this far, tweet us. Let us know. And we'll send you something. All right, so that's about it. We should really wrap up now. We're back next week. Our thanks, as always, to DeanBlundell.com, to Amsterdam Brewery. Anything else?
Blue microphones.
Oh, blue microphones. Yeah, absolutely. If you speak into them, they're great.
Yes.
If your voice is anywhere near them, they're amazing, crystal clear. But if for some reason you don't speak into the microphones, they're not as good. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much. And we're back. As shutdown April continues. Cheers for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.